So the reading today comes from Psalm 139, and I'm reading from verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Got the thing. Cool, there we go. We're going to be continuing with the theme of babies this morning. I've mentioned a couple of times I'm probably the only regular preacher who is both male and does not have children. I fit in that Venn diagram, so I obviously am the correct choice to be talking about Psalm 139. Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to be sticking to what I have some experience with. So yes, we're sticking with the theme of creation as a whole. That's our topic for the next few weeks. And Davis spoke to us last week about creation and creation groaning for God's return, groaning for the return of the Creator. And for ancient people, creation stories were really important. Just about every ancient culture has their own version of a creation story. And the story we see in Genesis 1 is especially potent because this is a statement that the cosmos itself, the sun, the moon, these were not gods. These were not things to be worshipped. They were created entities, things that God had made. And for we modern people, the way we deal with Genesis and things in creation is a little bit more existential, I'd say. Perhaps we wonder that the earth doesn't sit in this Goldilocks zone by accident. Perhaps we humans aren't evolutionary unicorns, as it were. Perhaps our existence is actually down to more than a cosmic lottery. Perhaps the earth, the plants, the animals, us, perhaps these things were created. Perhaps we humans were made. And that's all very well and good, says the skeptic. But even if I buy into this creator God thing, how do I know that God hasn't just set everything up and walked away? How can I be sure that God isn't sitting on some cloud somewhere watching me struggle through life? Well, Mr. Skeptic, I'd say that's a fair question. And thankfully, it's a question that the Bible actually addresses many times. And this morning, I'd like to work through one such response, which is Psalm 139, written by King David. Here in the psalm, David insists that God is an active creator. He isn't sat on some cloud watching on. He is present within all areas of his creation. He is the creator of the world and the cosmos, but also the creator of every single human being who has ever been and ever will be. He is the creator God on the grand scale and on a personal level. Yeah. And not only that, but God has actually partnered with us in this creation process. God isn't distant or detached, but he's a God who enters into his own creation. So those are the two themes I'd like to go through today. God the personal creator and God the partnered creator. Personal creation, partnered creation. If you go back and read the entirety of Psalm 139, you find that one of the primary themes David is leaning on here is this idea of God being everywhere. Whether it's in the heights of heaven or the depths of the sea, God is there. Typically, ancient people would regard mountaintops as holy places. Simple logic that heaven is up and mountains are the most up, so closer to heaven, holy places. And in parallel to that, David gives us this image of Sheol, like the land of the dead. And then he immediately links that to the depths of the sea. And a lot of ancient Israelite texts deal with the sea as this big, dark, scary place where nasty things come out of. So for him to say that even there in the uttermost parts of the sea, your hand will lead me is no coincidence. In the heights of mountains and in the depths of the sea, God is there. Which gives us these two grandiose settings, the greatest place imaginable and the scariest place imaginable, both mysterious and unseen, yet God is present in both. And then David pivots from these two big unseen places of mystery to a mother's womb and the image of a baby being formed. You formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, made in secret, intricately woven. So you can see the juxtaposition here, can't you? The Creator God carving mountains and hollowing out oceans is present with every unborn child, forming them with tenderness and care. God of the grand and the personal. And I don't think we consider how incredible that really is. In our culture, it's pretty normal for a secular or agnostic person to say they believe in a higher power. That has a certain detached, throwaway nature to it, doesn't it? They believe that there's something out there. Kind of like our culture's come to this consensus that, yeah, there's probably some sort of God, he probably exists, but either we can't know him or we don't have to know him. He's just sort of there, unknowable and impersonal. In fact, I think modern people tend to imagine God like he's the Force from Star Wars. Powerful, omnipresent, binding, creative, but not really knowable. The Force in Star Wars doesn't have like a personality per se. It's just literally a force for good, which means just about nobody can interact with it. In fact, the only people in Star Wars who can use the Force, as it were, are these super spiritual Jedi types who live in a literal temple and wear robes. And it's worth mentioning that that is how the world sees us. And if you think it's a bit far, we wear robes. The point is that our culture... Oops, I'm losing it here. The point is that our culture, in our culture, we would prefer a God of convenience. We would prefer to have an impersonal God. Modern people, we don't want a personal God getting up in our business. We just want a force. We want the security blanket of knowing that there's a good thing out there that's higher than everything else, and we'd prefer him to be unknowable, impersonal, and he's just working away in the background, because that's a really sweet deal. You get the assurance of a higher power with no personal expectations. But what if God isn't an unknowable force? What if the force for good isn't a what, but a who? And what if that who didn't just create the world, but made you? What if God is active, involved, and personal? Well, that would change everything. Because if he's personal, then he's knowable. And if he's knowable, then he certainly knows everything about us. In the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah, God says to his long-suffering servant, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. And that runs really beautifully with our psalm today, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Before we even know ourselves, God knows us. And he lays down a plan for our lives. And while we might prefer a passive force for good, David is presenting us with a creator who is active, involved, and deeply personal. And the implications for this are endless. If every human being is known before conception, then they are accounted for. None of us are on this earth by accident. God has a plan. And if every human being is personally formed by God, then every human is a bespoke, one-off, never-to-be-repeated creation. No matter where we come from, regardless of race, upbringing, circumstance, or even our own choices, we cannot escape the fact that we are all ultimately and emphatically made. The late Pope Francis, put it like this. Even the weakest and most vulnerable, the sick, the old, the unborn, and the poor are masterpieces of God's creation, made in his own image, destined to live forever and deserving the utmost reverence and respect. The same God who created the universe created you, our God of the grand and the personal. Now, as tempting as it would be to just end the sermon here, because that's all lovely, isn't it? There's one last aspect of today's passage that I would like to look at. And it's one that I think would be of particular interest to Mr. Skeptic from the start of our talk. You see, a few weeks ago, a young person asked me a really intelligent but uncomfortable question. They asked, how much of Mary was in Jesus? They understood that Jesus was the Son of God, and they understood this was no usual pregnancy, but does that mean that Jesus was just a spiritual download straight to Mary, or did he share some genetic makeup with his parents? Now, I think there are two ways you can respond to a question like this. Number one, you can panic. You can say, whoa, that's a hairy question, and then you respond with the normal tracks, like, oh, well, you know, Jesus loves you, he's the Son of Man, he's fully God, he's fully human, you did it. And you can kind of deflect, you know, you panic. Or, number two, you can honour the person and their question and entertain the uncomfortable. Even if you simply say you don't know, you're going to go away, do some thinking and some praying, and come back to them. If we truly believe that God has created us and the knowledge of that will change everything, then I think we need to be prepared to have these uncomfortable conversations, whether it's with children or with a skeptic. When my mother was born, she was adopted out to New Zealand from Australia. Her mother was a pilot. She just passed away about 2 weeks ago at 96. So it was especially unusual for my mother's mum to be a pilot at that time. And she was not just any pilot, but she was one who held altitude records over Sydney and had no less than 9 landing accidents. One of them while she was pregnant with mum. It was a different time. My mum's father, William, was arguably even more famous in the aviation world. He was a flying doctor in the outback and a top dresser. Sadly, that latter job killed him, and he died without ever knowing that mum existed. Mum, for her part, grew up in Napier and didn't learn about her parents' aviation heritage until she was in her mid-20s. Take a guess what job she was doing when she discovered her parents' heritage. She was a pilot, an instructor, and she remained an instructor until she had me and my sister. Now, is it possible such a thing is a coincidence? Yes. But I think this is evidence of something really profound. God creates us utterly and wholly, but also God creates us in partnership with our own humanity. We aren't made in a vacuum. We have a genetic makeup, a genealogy, meaning that every child is both a creation of God and a creation of their parents. We are created in partnership. And I know this is actually kind of, you know, really obvious when you think about it, but think back to Genesis 1, when God created humans and installed them as stewards over the earth. We were instructed to name the animals and to start families, to create. Consider God's covenant with Abraham, how God partnered with him to create a nation. Consider Moses. All Moses did was carry a magic stick. He didn't even do the talking. God could have done all of that himself, but he chose to work within the constraints of humanity. Again and again in the Bible, we see this partnership, this pattern of partnership. But never more so than when God himself entered into this process that he created, this process of personal partnered creation to arrive on earth as a human baby. Utterly and wholly God, yet fully human. Which means Jesus would have had Mary's features. He would have shared her genetic code. Of course he did. Where did the human element come from if not from her? Maybe he had her hair. Maybe he had her nose. Maybe he laughed like Joseph. Maybe he shared Joseph's mannerisms. Remember, Jesus didn't start out as a Jewish man kicking it around heaven. Jesus became a Jewish man. He entered the world as a baby. He entered the world on our terms. And when he left behind the Holy Spirit to continue the partnership in building his kingdom. This is the mystery of creation that David alludes to. And in Jesus, we see it fully realized in his own descendant. And more than anything, I believe that this willingness to co-create, this pattern of partnership, demonstrates how loved we really are. On the 25th of December, Christians all around the world, we will celebrate God arriving on earth. In the most personal fashion imaginable, Jesus born into what we would call today abject poverty. Under scandalous circumstances, to a family of no reputation, growing up in a village of ill repute. He didn't arrive on a cloud, preserved in his divine form. No, God entered into the mystery of his own creation so that no matter who you are or where you came from, who your parents were, how you were raised, you have a God who understands you. He knows you, he formed you, and so committed to partnering with you, Jesus goes through the entire process of being formed, of childhood, just so you know he understands. And then he offers himself up on your behalf so you know that you're loved. So when we look back at our own heritage, our own upbringing, and we don't really like what we see, we can be reminded that God knew us before time began, and he formed us in that partnered mystery. The God of the grand and the personal who partners with his creation and lays his life down on our behalf. I think that changes lives. I think that would be meaningful to Mr. Skeptic. So I'll leave you with verses 17 to 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Lord, thank you so much that you do love us and that in so many ways you are reaching out to us. So many verses, so many moments in our lives, but none more so than Jesus. You love us so much that you would limit yourself, that you would allow yourself to be humiliated and abused all for us, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.